time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, May 17th, 2019. We have 20 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory for winds in effect from this morning through tonight. And that means winds of 20 to 34 knots are possible. We don't have a small craft advisory for hazardous seas. Seas would have to reach 10 feet or higher for that to be the case. So seas are below that level. But we're still going to have some considerable winds out there on the water and on the beach today. In the forecast, west winds, 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20 knots, and getting as high as 25 knots in the afternoon. And the wind direction will shift around to the south. Wind waves from the southwest 3 feet at 5 seconds apart, and west swells 5 feet at 10 seconds apart. And there is a secondary swell out there from the southwest 3 feet high at 13 seconds apart. And that secondary swell and the wind waves and the regular swell that are all part of the forecast today mean that there are a lot of different forces acting out there on the water coming from kind of different directions. And the more far apart the directions are, So to speak, if the wind is blowing opposite to the waves, that will tend to create chop, and that can make conditions more difficult out there. Showers are likely in the afternoon in our marine weather forecast. And today we're going to be talking about Safe Boating Week, which begins on Sunday. The weather's getting nice. People are going out and enjoying themselves on the water. A few things to remember to stay safe. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 4 inbounders. We have 10 in our Astoria anchorages, including 3 at Rice Island. We have 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the African Tern. She's a bulk carrier arriving from China, headed for the Vancouver anchorage. She's going to be going to the Port of Portland eventually to pick up soda ash, but she will pass Astoria probably around 5:30 a.m. We might see her in Vancouver around 11:30 a.m. The Western Maple is arriving from Mexico. She's headed for the Vancouver anchorage also, and she is eventually going to the Port of Portland to pick up potash. She will pass Astoria around 8 a.m. and arrive in Vancouver around 2 p.m. The Pelican State is a vessel that was, I believe, on the schedule yesterday to get here, but she's not here yet. She's arriving from Richmond, headed for Portland to the shipyard at Swan Island, and she may be coming in for repairs of some kind. I believe she is a tanker of some sort. So she'll pass Astoria around 9:30 a.m., and we might see her in the Portland area at Swan Island by about 4:30 p.m. today. The Core Leader OL is arriving from South Korea, headed for Kalama. Her cargo could be bringing in coils of steel, and if that has been the case in the past with this particular berth. And if that's the case, it's a really interesting cargo and quite a hazard-prone cargo, because if it gets loose, it can roll around in the ship. And this is one of the hazards with what we call break bulk cargo, big pieces of things on ships. They have to be very carefully secured, because otherwise if they start moving around, they could destabilize the ship enough to actually make it capsize and sink. So the securing of cargo like this is, and loading of cargo, is a very, very important part in general of the operation of a ship. And it's done with a lot of help from computers now. But in many generations past, it was done from experience by the chief mate would be in charge of making sure that the cargo was all loaded properly, that it was all secured in the cargo hold so that it could not move around. And even I've talked to you on other ship reports about some cargoes, that bulk cargoes that are certain mineral ores that are prone to something called liquefaction. And when those start rolling around inside a kind of a ship that is rolling in the waves, it can assume the properties of a liquid and become very unstable. And one of those things is nickel ore. We don't get that here on the Columbia, but in other parts of the world it's shipped. And that is one of the most hazardous cargoes to carry, because of that potential for a solid to become a liquid when it is in a ship that is rocking back and forth in the water under certain conditions of moisture and all that. That if it's just right, it can become destabilized and become very dangerous. So at any rate, this ship is headed for Kalama. She'll pass Astoria around 11 p.m. You might see her in Kalama around 4 a.m. on Friday morning. In the Astoria anchorage, we have the Crimson Ace headed for Kalama to pick up corn, soy, or wheat. She's a bulk carrier, as are all our ships in the anchorage. She's leaving around 5 a.m. from the Astoria anchorage. Look for her in Kalama by about 10 a.m. Well, let's talk about boating safety, and I can hear you sort of going, oh boy, here she goes. Well, there's a lot of reasons to think about boating safety in our area, and this coming week is National Safe Boating Week. And the city of Owaka, Washington, thought it was important enough to actually issue a proclamation about it in support of Safe Boating Week. Here's some statistics to support why it might be a good idea to think about boating safety. Every year, there are about 700 fatalities of people in generally recreational boats in almost 5,000 boating accidents nationwide. There are almost 12 million recreational boats in the United States, and the Coast Guard is very busy. I remember interviewing somebody from the U.S. Coast Guard years ago who told me that even just in our area here, the Coast Guard rescues an average of one person a day year-round. So certainly there are winter months where nobody goes boating, but in the summer months and in the warmer months when there's a lot of people out on the river fishing and doing other things, they make up for it so that that average becomes year-round about a person a day that they go out and rescue from the Coast Guard from here that they go and rescue. So that's a lot of people, and that's a lot of rescues. And so some reason to give, as the weather does, we hope, become nicer and warmer out, and people start thinking about wanting to go to the beach and wanting to go on the river. So nationwide, drowning is the cause of death in 76% of all boating fatalities. Now, that's 4 out of 5 people in any kind of water accident die from drowning. And a lot of that is because they're not wearing life jackets. Almost 85% of those people who drowned were not wearing life jackets. Now, people tend to not want to wear life jackets partly because they think they're uncomfortable, but the newer ones are really not. They're the ones that automatically inflate when you hit the water are very slim and kind of cool to wear. I have one, and I wouldn't go out boating here without it. Now, boats are only required to carry them. That's the law. You have to carry one on board for each person. But there is no law that says people actually have to wear them. So this is something that you have to kind of take on as a responsibility for yourself. Any boat that you go out on is legally required to have a life jacket for you, or they can't take you. So you should put that here, especially, you should put that life jacket on, because that life jacket will save your life. If you fall overboard in the water that we have here that's so cold year-round that it can cause hypothermia, you're going to lose mobility so fast that you will be really, really grateful to have something to hold you up, because you can actually survive for a while as long as you can float. And that just buys you time to be rescued. There's really a lot of sense behind it and a lot of things that would make you thank your lucky stars if you ever fell overboard or anything happened where you ended up in the cold water here. You'd be really, really happy that you had that life jacket on. Now, what are some of the causes for all these boating accidents and fatalities that happen? The biggest one is alcohol use. People go out, it's a beautiful day, they have a few beers. Really shouldn't do that. It's just too dangerous. It's probably, it's equally dangerous as driving drunk, and perhaps in some situations even more so. And so the drinking should be at the dock when you're done. Or at least the person who is at the helm should be absolutely sober, because the risk is just too great. And when you have people out on a boat with you, you are responsible for them. So their safety is your responsibility. So, you know, I could go on and on about safety, but you know me. You know I really do care about you, or I wouldn't be talking about all this. In honor of National Safe Boating Week, I don't want to hear about any of you getting into trouble out there on the water. So please do it for me, even if not for yourself. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great and safe week.